Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. I hope you're doing really, really well today. And I've really been looking forward to our call. Before we jump in, we're going to start our listening module today. We've got three calls, but I got a couple of things before we jump into listening. So first of all, just a few housekeeping logistics things. I think most people at this point are in our Facebook group, but if you haven't yet answered, the team has sent out a couple of invitations to come into the Facebook group. Please come in. I highly recommend coming into the Facebook group. We'll be doing connecting in there, and it's a good place to be. So if you're not there yet, look for that email invite in your inbox. If you can't find it, you can just request to come in. It's Sacred Depths Coaching Certification 2018. And then the other quick logistical piece that I wanted to mention is today is the last day to let us know if you'd like a coaching partner, a coaching buddy for the program. A lot of people have already, almost everybody actually has already signed up. But if you would like to have a partner, please let us know by today. Again, it's optional. You don't need to unless you want the certification. At the end of the training, if you want the certification, the partner hours are required. But I really do recommend it for nearly everyone. It's just a great opportunity to reinforce the skills that we're learning every week. Okay, so before we move on to listening skills, there was a piece about the energetics that I didn't get to last week that I want to make sure we cover this week. It's really important. And here it is. In order to create a strong coaching relationship, you need to create a strong coaching container. I'm going to share that again. In order to create a strong coaching relationship, you need to create a strong coaching container. So what's a container? What do I mean when I say coaching container? Every client relationship that you have, and for that matter, any coaching session that you have, any retreat that you lead, any workshop you lead, any class you teach, in my opinion, needs to have a container. It's not necessarily a container that you see, but nonetheless, the container is very real. The container, the coaching container, literally holds the coaching work that you do with your client, just like the way that a glass is the container that holds water in it. The container helps you and your client come together as a unified whole. It helps you both stay engaged, and engaged emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It makes sure that you don't drift off physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and disconnect. Containers keep your clients connected to you during and in between sessions without you having to work so hard for them to feel connected to you and to the work that you're doing in between sessions. Tight containers create a sense of trust, and they also allow your clients to show up fully present, to engage, to be vulnerable. Containers create the environment for the highest level of transformation and results. Transformation and results happen when energy is transformed. transformed. I'm going to say that again. Transformation and results happen when energy is transformed. And you can't transform energy if you don't have a tight container to your coaching work. And here's the best. I know I'm speaking a little bit, not concretely, but here's something that will help you, I think, understand what I'm talking about. Think again about that glass of water, right? So we can call the water the coaching work that you and your client are doing together, all of the work that you do together. You need the container. You need the glass that the water is in to hold the water, or else what would happen? It would just spurt all over, it would just like spill all over the place. If you have holes in the container, the water is going to go all over the place, right? Now, when I say that transformation and results happen when energy is transformed, and you can't transform energy if you don't have a tight coaching container, here's what I mean. Let's think about the glass again. If you hold the glass and you want the water, if you want the water to move, right, we can call moving water creating results and transformation, you can swirl the water in the glass. The glass will hold it so that the water is able to swirl, but without that glass, the water isn't going to go anywhere, right? So that's the type of holding that I'm talking about here. Now, many coaches don't know how to create strong containers. They actually don't even know that they're supposed to create strong containers, and so instead, their containers are leaky. So what's a leaky container? Well, a leaky coaching container, literally it's like there's holes, right? So again, visualize that cup with water and there's holes, right? If there's holes in it, the energy leaks, there's disengagement, there's confusion in the coaching, the sessions will fall flat. So how do you create a strong coaching container? How do you create this holding around the relationship so that you and your client feel held, so that the relationship is held? Well, first of all, back to last week, the more that you can equalize the playing field, the more of a container there is. But there are other ways that you want to really create this coaching container. So first of all, the best containers are the ones that are set beforehand. So what do I mean by that? Setting clear ground rules and protocols and sticking with them. So, and all the ways that you prepare to go into a coaching relationship help create the container, right? Everything from the contract, from being clear on how you schedule calls, being clear on how many calls, how long the calls are, being clear on the boundaries, all of these things help create a container. It creates a matrix. It creates a sense, again, like think of that cup, that glass holding it. It's holding everything together so that everybody is clear on where they're at, and that's when the magic in the coaching can happen. Some other things that I do beforehand to set the container, first of all, I like to schedule out all of the sessions at the beginning before we start. So instead of scheduling, let's say a client, I don't know, gets 12 sessions, over 6 months, I won't schedule session by session by session as we go along. We'll actually schedule out all of our 12 sessions at the very beginning of the relationship. Now, of course, things come up in life. I may have to reschedule. Client may need to reschedule. That's fine. But having all of those sessions in place, it's part of that glass holding the water. It creates a matrix. It creates a structure. It creates a container. We'll get in on another call, not on this one, but, you know, different ways, welcome packets and things like that. But, you know, one of the other things in the welcome packet and also at the beginning of the relationship that I ask, this is a container setting question, is I'll ask, do I have permission in our work together to call you out? You know, when I see that you're in resistance or you're not really holding yourself accountable, do I have permission to call you out? And, you know, if the client says yes, they almost always will, I'll say, so what are some of the best ways to call you out? How can I call you out? What can we do to make that work? It's a little thing, but getting clear on that before you get into the work together will really, again, it sets that container. It creates the safety. Everybody knows what's up, both parties. It allows for the magic to happen inside. We'll have a full call on contracts, and I also have a guest speaker coming in to talk to us even more about the legal issues of contracts. So we'll get to all the ins and outs of that. But I did want to mention that pre-work to you as part of holding the container. Here's some other ways that I think about the container for you to think about that might be helpful for you. I always like to prepare myself to hold the container. I do this whether it's one-on-one work or whether it's before a retreat or it's group work. So any emails that I send beforehand, getting clients excited about the work, you know, all of that, that's container setting. I will visualize me and my client, even if I've never met her in person, right? I don't even know what she looks like. I'll still visualize the two of us coming together. The other thing that I do is I think about the whole coaching cycle as a container. So, for example, let's say that I'm going to work with somebody for 6 months. We'll call that the coaching cycle. Well, part of creating that container, I think about, you know, we have a kickoff call, which is going to be a little bit different than the rest of our regular calls. In that kickoff call, we'll set, you know, intentions for the work together. Setting intentions is a really powerful way to set a container. On that first kickoff call, you know, we'll also look at, okay, what are some of the habits, what are some of the beliefs that this client, foundationally is going to be work on. You know, whatever it is, whatever in your work you do to set a foundation, that's part of setting the container. The other part of setting the container for the coaching cycle is having a closing call, right? So, again, think about holding. We want something special to start it off. And we also want a special closing call to end it or to bring people into the next cycle. You know, I'll get into all the ins and outs of those next cycle calls later on in the program. But again, I'm giving you, hopefully you're almost beginning to see a visual here of this container that I'm talking about. I also like to think of each individual coaching session as its own container. So what I mean by that is creating a container around each session. So how do I do this? Number one, clients fill out a pre-call form. They'll fill out a form and that they submit to me beforehand, you know, before the session, and they'll answer questions like, what's developed since the last time we spoke? What's your inner wisdom telling you? What is it that you want to celebrate? What is it that you want to focus on in our call? Again, it's paving the way for this container. When we get to the call itself, again, setting intentions. So just like I like to set intention at the beginning of a full coaching cycle, it's really important to set intentions at the beginning of each coaching session. It's such an obvious point. Probably a lot of you that are listening to this call already do this. But in case you don't, or in case you don't do it thoroughly, I just want to emphasize this. When you don't set intentions for the coaching call at the beginning of the call, just like the water without the glass, it's like the call can just go all over the place. It doesn't have a focus. You and your client then are not clearly and articulately on the same page about where you want to end up by the time you're done with that coaching session. And so a really simple way to set intentions at the beginning of a coaching session is simply to say, what is it that you would like to receive from our call today, right? And just have your client answer, and so that you can hear from her, okay, what is it that she's really wanting? Now, much of the time when your client answers, she'll say, you know, I want to make sure I get this, this, and this, and it's great. You're on the same page, it's clear on what wants to happen, and you can go into the session from there. There are other times when you'll say, you know, what would you like to cover on today's call, or what is it? You can say, what would you like to cover? I prefer, what would you like to receive? Usually it gets more to the heart of things. Now, sometimes the client will kind of give an answer that's all over the place. Take the time, the 2 minutes, the 3 minutes, whatever it is, set the container, set the intention, help her clarify exactly what it is that she wants. Again, it will help the session move along so much more smoothly. It will help the transformation. And again, just like at the end of a coaching cycle, I like to have a closing call. At the end of every session, if we think of each coaching session as a container on its own, I always like to close it in a particular way. So I will always, at the end of every call, even if we just have 15 seconds left, I will still always say, okay, before we wrap for today, tell me, what is it that you're taking from this session? You know, what's been most important for you? What are you learning, or what are you taking away? Helping a client at the end of a session take a few moments to articulate what their takeaways are, what they've learned, or how they feel, it will help them integrate everything that you've just journeyed through together in that session. And it will put them in a much better position to continue integrating after the session and take the action steps that you've looked at together. Okay, so let me pause here for a moment. Any questions on container setting before we move on? Star 2. Any questions, or I'd love to at least hear from one of you. What are you seeing? What are you taking from what I just shared around containers and how they work and the importance of them? What's hitting you? Star 2. Star 2. Anyone want to share anything before we move on to listening? I'd love to hear from one of you. I'm going to push here. Star 2, at least just what you're taking away, just so I know that you guys are with me here on this. Nobody want to share? All right, then I will trust that you got... Oh, no, there's a lot of hands raised. I didn't see that. All right, Carolyn.
Hey, Joanna, can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Hi. Okay, so the question I have is, when you are setting the intention for the call, oftentimes I'll have clients who come to me with a laundry list.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get this and this, and it's just not realistic to get it all
yep.
done in that time. So what do you find the best way to manage that intention
yeah.
or those expectations going in?
Yeah, I love that you're asking this question. It's so important. So I will be really honest with them, and I'll say, you know, I love that you want to cover all of these things. You know, my sessions are generally 45 minutes. I'll say, you know, we've got 45 minutes. I will do my best to try and get to all of these, but realistically, I don't think we're going to cover all of them in this session. Which are the ones that are most important to you? And so I'll ask. Sometimes I'll feel like one or two of the things are important, right, just knowing them and what they need, I'll say, you know, I feel like we should cover X and Y, but I want to hear from you, what is it that you'd really like to cover? And, you know, if I sense that there's something on that list that we're not going to get to cover, but the person is going to feel really anxious about it, sometimes I'll just add in there. And, of course, we can always email about issue A and get that set.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is that helpful?
That aligns. Yep.
Okay, awesome. Great. I don't know who this – oh, this is Kelsey. Hi, Kelsey. Oh, no. That's not, sorry. I'm having computer problems. This is someone from California, 3506.
Hi there, Joanna. This is Victoria.
Hi.
Hi. I just had two comments about this. There's always so much gold in here. But, you know, in speaking about the container, I couldn't help but go back to how it benefits me also. Because I've had a tendency to overgive and, you know, allow it to be so fluid and open and vast that the container, you know, that it ends up hurting me too. And of course, you know, ends up affecting the relationship. And I won't necessarily say hurting me. It's just that my client may not be able to get the result as quickly and as powerfully as is possible when we take time to create this container. But just the fact that I was recognizing how important and valuable it is for me as well was just beautiful to receive.
Oh, I'm so glad. And I'm really glad that you're mentioning it because it's true. This is for sure for the client. But remember, I said it's about the relationship. And both the coach and the client are part of the relationship and have things to give and receive in the relationship.
Right.
So I'm so glad you're getting that.
Yeah. And the point that really stuck out was taking the time to kind of elicit those details and to get clarity when they spew all sorts of things that aren't, you know, concise and clear and things at the beginning when they're talking about, you know, what they want to get out of that. So really taking the time to kind of pick that apart, I think is just so valuable because when I've done that, it's just been the whole rest of the session has, you know, been amazing.
Right. That's exactly,
the times when I ignore it.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's kind of like when you build a building, you want to take the time to set the foundation, right? If you just do the foundation quick, build the building, it's not going to be strong. But if you just take those extra moments at the beginning of the call to set the foundation, to really get clear on the intentions, everything else is stronger and smoother. Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Victoria. All right. Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
I love this part about the container, and I know the part, it all resonates, but when you said that you prepare yourself to hold the container, that's my, because I know all this about the container. I've heard this so many times, and when I'm rushing from call to call or rushing from thing to call to thing, I am much less likely to hold the tight container, and I think that my clients can feel it, and I know I can feel it. So really preparing myself. Even this call, I was 3 minutes late to because my 9 o'clock, I went all the way to 10:02 with, which was a bad boundary. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm not helping anybody by being in a rush and now you got to go. And, you know, it was just a really good reminder. Even how I joined this call was literally from a 9 o'clock coaching call that went an hour and 3 minutes instead of 45.
Yeah, yeah, so, it makes such a difference, even if it's just 10 seconds, right? It doesn't need to even be more than that sometimes. Close your eyes, get grounded, you know, because the container in a way holds itself, but as the coach, we're holding the container. So the more grounded we are, I think about this more when I facilitate groups, but it's almost like my arms can extend out long, 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 like a stretchy man, and really hold the whole group in a way. But that's really hard to do unless I'm really grounded. So just taking those few moments to prepare for it, to visualize it, to see what's going to happen, just can allow for that tighter container. I'm glad you're pulling that out. Thank you.
Yeah. And quick question. I used to do a pre-session form and have people email me before this form, basically those same questions. People, I don't know, do you have it? Does everybody do it willingly? And what do you do for people that don't do it? And...
Right. It's such a good question. So, you know, my whole thing is like coaching has to be personalized, and you need, as the coach, you need to be flexible. So I have some clients that do it, the form, religiously. They love it. They get so much value from it. They're not going to have a session unless they do it. I have other clients that the questions that I kind of have, you know, don't totally resonate for them. And so we work together to create questions that are going to feel meaningful for them. And sometimes I'll add a particular question in for a period of time for a particular client. If there's something we're working on, you know, let's say they want to meditate more regularly, I'm just making it up, we may just add that to the form. You know, have you meditated 3 times this week? If yes, you had it. If not, why? So you're personalizing it. I have other clients who just like hate the form, but what we've personalized is they just send me an email with a check-in and they put some bullet points in, and that works for them. I have, you know, not a lot, but there have been the occasional clients that they're just like not doing, they're just not doing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for them. And what I say to them is, you know, if really this doesn't work for you, that's great. You know, we may spend a little bit more time at the beginning of the session if there's particular pieces of information that I need, right? So we'll just spend that on the session time. But if it doesn't work for you, I can work with that too. It's not, the container will still be there if you're doing, you know, all of the other things that I mentioned.
Great, great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. I'll take one more, and then we'll definitely have time later for more comments and questions. I'm not sure who this is. I'm from Westchester, 1762 are your last numbers.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hi, Joanna. This is Esther. I'm
Hi.
Semi-whispering. I'm calling from work here. No, I was really excited listening to you talking about this container. I'm not a coach, but I found myself teaching recently, and I found it helpful just to even set the space before sort of think about my intentions for the specific class, or I would take something like a hydrosol and just walk in a circular motion through the classroom and just spritz the hydrosol, setting intentions. And I found that the sessions seem to just unfold in the most beautiful and unexpected ways. And it helps me ground myself since I'm new to teaching and sort of placing myself in an environment, okay, I might not have all the answers. And it's going to be a three-hour slot that, yes, I have a plan for the session, for the class, but I'm really not sure at the end of the day what happens. So it helps ground me, the space, and it seems to also work with and for the participants.
Beautiful. I love that example. Yes, thank you for sharing that. Great. So, you know, just one last piece I'll mention for right now on this. We can continue the conversation later. I know that this training is about one-on-one work, but, you know, I'll just point out that I, for this group, for our training, I took the time to set the container on our last call, right? There was a lot of container setting even before we got to our first call. But then on that first call, I took the time to talk about these are the different components, right? I spoke about what you can expect from me, what your responsibilities are. We took some time to set intentions for the entire training. We looked at the resistance. All of that was container setting. Okay. All right, so let's move on to listening skills. So for today, we're going to look at listening, really the energetics of listening. It's really almost a continuation, in a way, of last week's call on the energetics of the coaching relationship. And then next week, we're going to start to look at more concrete tools. But these energetic tools are really important, too. So, and I'll just share. So next week we'll look at tools, and then our third listening call we'll have our listening practicum, where we'll get to practice listening together, and you'll get feedback. So where we are going to start with this today, again, like I mentioned last week, at the outset, some of the things I'm going to share are going to seem really simple and really obvious. But it's only when we really pay attention and get into more of the nuances of the principles that I'm going to be sharing today that really masterful listening can happen. So, speaking of listening, my invitation is for you to listen to this call with fresh ears, especially if you're a seasoned coach. Listen with fresh ears so that you can go even deeper with your listening skills. I really believe that listening is one of the most important, most core coaching skills, because everything that we do in coaching, from questioning to acknowledging to strategizing to visioning to working with accountability to working with shadow to working with fears, all of it is predicated on what we've heard from our clients. As coaches and as practitioners, we need to be able to really listen in order to do anything else as a coach. So first, let me ask you this. Think about your client relationships or just even any of the relationships in your life. How well do you listen? Just think about that for a moment. You know, I'll just be the first to say I listen really well with clients. When it comes to my husband, I'm not always listening so well. So how well do you listen? How well do you really hear the other person's truth, the other person's belief? How well do you really hear the other person's experience? the other person's understandings, the perspectives behind the words that they say. How well do you hear even what the speaker herself doesn't realize what she's saying about herself or her life or a situation? This is all what we're going for with masterful listening skills. When we can listen masterfully, then we hold in our hands the key to co-creating results. So here's the first principle that I want you to be aware of in order to be a masterful listener. This is important for masterful listening, but this is just really core to everything in your coaching, practicing. Here's the principle. Everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. Everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. It doesn't matter what work you do. It doesn't matter who your ideal clients are. It doesn't matter what types of results you're in the business of creating. If you're going to coach someone or mentor them or teach them or shepherd them towards any kind of goal or growth, you need to always remember that your client deeply desires to be seen, heard, and loved. Even clients who at the outset don't seem to want this, I promise you, in their core, this is what they want, because this is a core need for all human beings. When an individual feels seen, heard, and loved, they feel validated. They feel more confident. They feel more accepting of themselves. They feel more courageous. They feel more valued. They feel more willing and able. Of course, I know that if you're in this training, you know this, right? We all know this. And yet, it can sometimes be forgotten in the coaching context because we get so focused on wanting to help our clients get their goals done, or we get so focused on trying to be a successful coach or practitioner and do a good job. And so then maybe we bowl over a concern that a client is having. We don't really hear that concern, or we don't really hear between the lines of what she's saying, or we overlook a particular frame of mind that she might be in, or we forget to acknowledge the growth that he's already made instead of just looking towards what still needs to be done right away. And when we do any of these things, when we focus only on the goal, in essence, we stop listening. I'm going to say that again. Again, I know it's so obvious, but just take it in. When we focus solely only on the goal, on getting it done, in essence, we stop listening. And when we stop listening, we've detracted from the mutual trust and respect of the coaching relationship. We have ceased to help our client feel seen, heard, and loved. Okay, so what gets in the way of creating an environment where our clients feel completely seen, heard, and loved by us? It's usually 100% related to the unequal playing fields that we spoke about last week. If you're really focused on your own flaws in the relationship, it's going to be really, really difficult to see and hear your clients. And if you're really focused on your client's flaws or on their own inabilities, it's also going to be really hard to see and hear them. So I want to ask you this, and again, no judgment. This is just so that you can start becoming more aware for yourself. Think about your client relationships. And think about all of your relationships, really. How well are you doing at helping others feel seen, heard, and loved on a scale of 1 to 10? And hopefully you've had this experience for yourself, right? When you've felt seen, heard, and loved, whether it's from a coach, a practitioner, a parent, a friend, whatever it is, it's like all of a sudden you have more energy to create what you want. You feel better, right? You feel more confident. So how well are you doing at helping others feel seen, heard, and loved? Next question. What stops you from being a wholehearted 10 in this area? In other words, what holds you back from being able to fully see, hear, and love others? Just take a moment and you can jot down some notes on that one. What holds you back from fully being able to see, hear, and love others? And let's just turn this one on its head for a moment. What I've sometimes observed for coaches and practitioners, teachers, healers, is that sometimes our own need to be seen, heard, and loved can get in the way of us being able to see, hear, and love our clients. I'm going to say that again and just consider that one for yourself. Sometimes our own need to be seen, heard, and loved by our clients gets in our way of being able to do this for our clients. So just take a moment for yourself. Has that ever shown up for you in a coaching relationship or a personal relationship? All right, I'd love to hear a share or two on this one before we continue. Anything around being seen, heard, and loved? What are you seeing for yourself? What's important here for you? Star two. Sophia.
Oh, hi. Hi, Joanna. Yeah, so I really love your point, and I've had clients come to really deep realizations themselves by just being like a really open listener and making it known that it's okay to share anything with me, even if it would be very much judged by other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm really good at creating a space where people feel like they can share really like intimate things that are really bothering them. But I have something that I'm still kind of flummoxed by. And I realized what holds me back most from seeing and hearing people is when the point, like, I'm judging, you know, the client.
When you're
so,
what?
When I'm judging. And
yes.
This has only happened to me once. And I'm not really sure if the client was uncoachable or it was me being judgmental, because this was a practice client I had. And this was back in the day when I wanted more practice. I had this client that I felt like was, I'm not sure if it was, I had a lot of questions in my mind as to whether I was actually able to coach her, because she hadn't had a lot of, like, it was kind of like, it was really hard for the previous coaches to help her take action. I started to feel like I wasn't able to coach her, and
yeah.
I started to feel like I wasn't, I was, I don't know, is there any part of the program where you discuss someone who may not be coachable? Because I've only had this experience once. And
I've never seen it
any other client.
Yeah, it's such a great point. So before I answer your question, I just want to pull out one thing that you said that's really important, which is that when there's judgment, I'm going to call it like unchecked judgment, you know, it's really hard to then fully see, hear, and love the, you know, the client.
Yeah, I wasn't really loving my client, I'm just being honest. I was questioning, should we even be coaching, you know?
Yes.
You know?
So that's one important piece, is that, you know, it may have, without knowing all the details, I don't know, but if in that situation, even with the judgment, it's not that you can throw the judgment away, but if you could also be aware at the same time that it is your judgment and still really love the client for her struggle, for whatever the lack is there, you know, whatever it is, if you can love on the client in it, a lot of times you will find a way through, because there's a deeper relationship and a deeper trust and a deeper mutual respect that's happening, and the client is feeling that love, is really feels that she's being seen in her wholeness, not just for the judgment. And again, that's what can create so much. So that would be the first thing I would say, is I would never call anyone uncoachable until I applied all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then also until I applied everything that we're going to learn in the rest of this program, because oftentimes some, you know, where another coach may say, oh, this client is uncoachable, you know, I'll show you guys how to work with their fears and work with their beliefs and work with their self-sabotage. So it might just be that there's more coaching skills that are needed there along with the energetics.
Right.
But all that being said, yes, sometimes there are going to be some people that simply are not coachable or not coachable by you, right? The last thing I'll say about this for now, because there's a lot to say about it, is when I'm in an enrollment conversation with someone, in a sales conversation with someone, if I sense in any way that I'm not going to be able to help them, I won't take them on as a client. And
that's
if I'm
great.
In a sales conversation with someone and they've said to me, I've worked with 3 or 4 other coaches and nothing has, you know, it hasn't worked, I'm going to ask more questions about that first, to determine if I think the prospect is coachable or not, right? So sometimes, most of the time, you want to catch someone who's not coachable before they become a client. So I'll leave it at that for now, but hopefully that's a lot, you know, some things for you to think about there. It's a great question. Okay. All right, let's move on to the next listening energetic principle that I want to share with you. Again, another very obvious one, but it's important to say, be truly present in every moment. Be truly present in every moment. What does that mean? Show up fully. Bring your full mind, your full attention, your full focus, your full heart, your full spirit, and your full soul to every session. Bring all of yourself there. Don't allow distractions like technology, like thoughts about the rest of your day, or performance anxiety. Don't let any of those distractions get in the way of you fully showing up. Again, you know, I know that this is so obvious, but I'll just say, in the past, I have been guilty of, I hadn't, you know, not turning off social media during a session, or hearing a ding from my computer and getting curious about the email that came in, right? These are tiny little things, but they detract from your ability to be fully present. As I said last week, energy follows energy. If you're fully present in the coaching session, all of you, like I said before, mind, attention, focus, heart, spirit, soul, if you're fully present, your client is much more likely to be fully present. But if you're not fully present, then your client is much more likely to not be as well. Now, think specifically about the distraction of feeling like you're not good enough or worrying that the coaching isn't going well enough. When that happens, you're kind of worry and you stress, and then you start to question yourself more. And then here's what happens next. When you as the coach are feeling off because you're questioning yourself, there's no way that you can remain fully present to your participants. And that's because our human brains actually don't know how to multitask. Our prefrontal cortexes won't allow it. And so then when we're not present, We're nowhere near our best. When you're present, when you're fully, fully present, and you've got the right energetics, then you can feed 10 birds with one hand. You can hear on so many different levels what's happening for the client and then lead them from that place. So if you know that you're prone to spinning out into self-doubt or questioning yourself while you're coaching, then you want to be very, very conscious of remaining fully present from the get-go. You want to especially take note of this. Bringing yourself back to being present with your client will actually help you override the self-doubt. So in other words, if you're having trouble equalizing the playing field because you're not feeling good enough, a great tool is to just get present to the moment, to really listen, to really be with your client. It will distract you from your unequal playing field. You can't focus on your self-doubts if you're also focusing on your client. There's actually not enough room in your prefrontal cortex to do both at the same time. So again, I know all of this is obvious. Of course you want to show up fully present for your clients, for any relationships in your life. You want to show up fully present when you're driving in your car down the road, you know, all of that. You know this. I know that you know this. But just be honest with yourself for a moment here. Just be in self-inquiry. On a scale of 1 to 10, could you really give yourself a 10 when it comes to being fully present with your clients? If you can, awesome. Yay. Kudos to you. If not, even if you're at a 9, I really want to invite you to get to that 10. Your coaching will improve vastly if you can get to the 10. So how do you get to a 10 in terms of being present? Well, there's tons of tools. I'm just going to share a couple. So doing a short visualization at the start of a call. I don't always do this these days, but I used to always do this religiously. At the beginning of every coaching session, I'd spend 2-3 minutes in the very, very beginning and do a grounding exercise. It would help ground my client, help her become more present, do some breaths, bring herself fully present, and then it would allow me to become fully present as well. If you don't want to do that at the beginning of every session, do it at the beginning of your workday. You don't have to be a meditator to do this. I'm not really a meditator, but I can take, 30 seconds, close my eyes, and just come into my body, right? Just be fully there, fully present for the workday. Again, setting intentions, like we looked at earlier in the call, it's a great way to get present. What I often do also for myself is at the beginning of my coaching days, I will light a candle and I'll just take a moment and think about each of the people that I'm going to be coaching that day, just get a little visual of them in my mind as I'm lighting the candle. I send them a little love. It helps with the feeling seen, heard, and loved piece. I just really take, 5 seconds on each, and just hone in on each of those clients. I become present to them. Of course, turn off distractions, right? Turn the dingers off on the phone and the computer. Don't read any emails that you think are going to trigger you or upset you or cause anxiety right before a session. I am guilty of that. I have 3 minutes before a session starts. I see an email come in. I know I should not read that email before the session, but I do. And then I have to work harder to get present. Take care of your body, right? There's nothing like a distraction that has to do with really needing to pee during a coaching session or being really hungry or thirsty. And then continuously throughout the session, bring your attention back to the client. I think we have time. I'm going to just tell a really quick story about this, as it might be helpful for some of you. So in my first years of coaching, I noticed that I would be on the phone with clients and I would start folding laundry while I was on the phone with them. And I felt terrible about this. These people are paying me money to be there for them, and I was folding laundry, but I actually, for as bad as I felt about it, somehow I couldn't get myself to stop. I would fold laundry or I would pace. It was back when I lived in Brooklyn. I'd pace around the apartment, and what I finally came to realize was that for me, those activities weren't about not being present. Those activities were about movement, and they allowed me to actually tune in more to my clients and to be more present to them. So even as I'm speaking right now, I have my notes in my hand, but I'm not at my desk. I've been pacing all around my downstairs as I've been talking to you. For me, that actually helps me be more present. It helps me attune to myself, attune to spirit. For me personally, that's important, and it helps me attune to you more. So something that may look like a distraction at the outset may not actually be one. All right, next energetic principle. Listen to yourself as well as to your client. Listen to yourself as well as to your client. Listening skills in a coaching context are about not just about listening to your client. They're about listening to you also. So this is a little bit about intuition. Now, some of you may be totally into intuition. Others of you might think it's airy-fairy. I don't necessarily mean it in some voodoo context, if that's what you think intuition is. But what I mean by that is listen to what you sense about your client. Listen to what you sense. Do you sense in a conversation or a part of a conversation that she's excited? Do you sense that she's not thinking as big as she's ready to? She's not visioning as big as she's ready to. Do you sense that she's avoiding something and she's skimming the surface? We all get these senses. If we can be present to the moment, we'll get this information from ourselves. And I want you to listen to it and use it in your coaching. So take a moment and just think for yourself, do you generally listen to your intuition or not when it comes to your clients, right? If you sense a client has gotten off track, or if you sense, you know, your client is just saying something, excuse my language, that's bullshit, or if you sense she's not excited enough about something that you thought she was really, you know, and the conversation is going just fine, but it's just this, like, little sense that you get, right? Do you generally listen or not? And if you don't listen to those, you know, pieces of intuition, why not? If you're ignoring them, if you're just bowling them over and not listening to that information, why? So I'll just share with you, you know, I have some coaches on my team that, you know, work with some of my clients in various ways. And after every session that my coaches do, I have them fill out kind of like a tracking sheet. It's for them. And it's also for me, so I can, you know, really kind of be in the loop on the one-on-one work that they're doing with the clients in my program. And one of the questions that I always have my coaches fill out after their sessions, one of the questions on it is, what is your intuition telling you about this client? I really want them to take like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, after a session to sense in, what's your intuition telling you about this client? I'm sharing this with you because it's a really great tool for building this principle of listen to yourself as well as to your client. And you'll see if you start asking yourself this question and writing it out. I really recommend writing out a couple points after each session. You know, what's my intuition telling me about this client? It's telling me I don't think she's really going to do her homework, or, you know, she's super psyched, or I think she's going to get stuck in this place, or I think she needs a little more encouragement, you know, whatever it is. First of all, you know, it will help you in your communications in between sessions. You can add things in. You can kind of get them what you sense they need. But the more that you do this, then the more you're just going to start automatically doing it while you're in session with your client. And it's going to help you hold the container and guide the conversation even more powerfully. Next listening principle that goes along with listening to yourself is be curious. I know, another obvious one, but I think it's important to just look at for a few minutes. So when you're curious, so much is possible. So much more is available to open up. So much more creativity and creative solutions are available. So like I said, this goes hand in hand with listening to yourself. You listen to your client, and then that will yield messages, wisdom, intuitions that your inner self will bring up. You want to listen to those intuitions, and then from there, allow yourself to be curious based on what you heard from your client and what you heard from yourself. Can I say that again so that you can really take it in? You want to listen to your client, and as you listen to your client, that's going to yield inner messages, wisdom, intuitions from your inner self. You want to listen to those. And then from there, allow yourself to be curious based on what you heard from your client and what you heard from yourself. In other words, your intuition isn't there to be the be-all, end-all, right answer. Instead, your intuition is there to open you up to be curious in the most potent and powerful places of what your client is sharing with you. Now, curiosity, let's go with me here for a moment. Curiosity is actually a skill that can be way more challenging than it seems. And I'm going to just talk about this for a moment. And, yeah, just go with me here. And you check this out for yourself as I share this with you and see what you think about it, feel into it. So I really think that curiosity seems super easy, but for adults, it can actually be way more challenging than it seems. And I'm saying this because you may not be as curious as you could be in your sessions, and I want you to increase your curiosity. And so here's what I mean that it can be challenging. We're all born with the skill innately, the skill of curiosity, but then most of us lose it along the way. Just think about when you're younger, right? Your maiden self, your child self. The maiden is open. She's interested in everything, right? She walks outside and every flower is a new experience. Every blade of grass, you know, every worm, everything is new, right? Because she's new to the world. I see this in my 4-year-old daughter, and even still a little bit in my 10-year-old. It's like everything. They're not jaded by experience. They don't just expect something. They still see things with fresh eyes. But as we get older, because we have experience, and also not only just as we get older, but as we become more experienced coaches, it's like we've seen it all. We have all this experience. We kind of get jaded by it. We forget to be curious. We just think that it's the same thing that we've seen before, and our clients aren't curious about themselves either. Right? So, here's some examples. Let's say a client says to you, "I don't like to exercise," right? Can you get curious about that? Not just think to yourself, "Oh, yeah, there's some people that like to exercise. There are some people that don't like to exercise. Let's find another thing for this person to do," right? But to get curious about it. Or if you're a business coach, if somebody says, "I want to create a 7-figure business," instead of just assuming why they want that 7-figure business, because they want a lot of money or whatever it is, get curious about it, right? Why would this person want to create this? Or if a client says, "This hasn't worked for me in the past," and you know that you've had a lot of clients, or in general that thing that hasn't worked for them in the past is pretty hard to do, don't be jaded by experience. Get curious. Right, so how often do you even just do this with yourself in your own life? How often do you block off curiosity? And then by blocking off curiosity, along with it, you block off possibilities because you're taking things at face value or for granted in your life. So I'll give you some examples of this. If you say to yourself, "I can't work fewer hours, I must work this much," have you blocked off your curiosity around that situation? A couple years ago, my father is born in Romania, and I went with him on this trip to the little town that he was born in the mountains of Romania, and we were standing outside. He lived in like a one-room cottage with his parents, and we're looking at the outside of it, telling me all about it. and telling me about the inside. And I said, "Oh, let's knock on the door. You know, let's see if we can go inside and see it all these years later." And you know, his first response was that we can't, right? They're not going to let us in. And I had to like nudge him into more curiosity to be able to do it. Right, so how often do you do this in your own life where you just block off a possibility because of jaded experience and not being curious? And then how often do you do this with clients? And then I want you to take a moment and journal on this. When and how did your maiden self or inner child self lose some of its curiosity or some of her curiosity? When and how did you lose some of your curiosity? What happened along the way to give your child self the message to not be so curious anymore? I'll give you another moment with that. What happened along the way to give you the message to not be so curious? And next question, take a moment and jot down, what are some of the things that you've become jaded about? Can be in your own life or in your practice. What are some of the things that you've actually become jaded about that you've just stopped, you know, being curious about? Just blocked off your curiosity. Give you another moment with that. So when I'm listening in coaching sessions, I 100% am bringing in all of my knowledge, all of my experience, you know, I know so much about human behavior and human response, and of course I'm utilizing all of it, but at the same time, and this is a practice, but I just want to invite you to play with this, while at the same time of bringing all of that knowledge and experience and understanding in, I'm still also working to listen with curiosity and with fresh ears. Because if I would only rely on the knowledge and the experience, and I have so much, I've worked with so many clients, I understand human behavior so well, especially around the things that I coach on, but if I were to only rely on that, I would miss a lot about my client and their needs and what they're actually saying, right? So my invitation to you is to really play with that this week of bringing in your experience and your knowledge without being jaded and still having your curiosity fully open. And if you're noticing through this exploration that you're having trouble with curiosity, one of the best ways to cultivate curiosity is to just practice it in your own life. To look at your life through your kid eyes, to listen as you move through your day with your kid ears, with openness, with delight, right? That maiden, she's delighted in all new things. Sometimes if I want to just practice this for even just 10 seconds, I'll just take a moment and look at the room that I'm in. Like right now, I'm just looking at my ceiling. I'm noticing we must have taped something. there's cracks. I just notice all the lines, the way the shadows hit the walls. And that also helps me become more present too, by the way, right? To notice details, to get curious about why something might be happening, to not take everything in my life as a given, right? Because we do tend to sleepwalk through our days a lot as adults, so the more that you can bring that aliveness in, the curiosity, the presence, all of that, practice it in your life, you can bring it into your coaching session. Okay, I want to talk about a couple more things before we wrap for today. So here's the next principle, listening principle, energetics of listening principle, we can call it. Listen for the who, because you always want to coach the what based on the who. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss thing. I'm going to say this again. Listen for the who, because you always want to coach the what based on the who. So what does this mean? Unfortunately, the way that most coaches approach the issues that their clients bring them is they're coaching primarily the what. The what is leading. So, if a client comes and says, I want to lose 10 pounds, right, they have their way of helping the client lose the 10 pounds. They know what to do to help the client lose 10 pounds. The person is having trouble with their time and their scheduling, right? They're coaching the what. What I'm suggesting here is coach the what. Obviously, we always want to coach the what, but have the who lead the what. So what I mean by that is, let's say from my own work, sometimes I'll help a client who's building or growing a business, I'll help them create an ideal schedule. They're having trouble with time management, and one of the things that we'll look at sometimes is ideal schedule. Well, the way I'm going to help coach around ideal schedule is going to be different for a mother of three than for a single person, right? I need to look at the who and coach the what based on the who. If a client wants to, whatever goal it is, back to losing the 10 pounds or 20 pounds, you want to listen first for the who, not just like how old they are, what their health is, all of that if you're a nutrition coach, but where are they at? What is the pace that this person works at? Where is their excitement level about this? Can they handle 5 actions in a week, or is it really more appropriate only 1 action in a week? Do they really love chocolate? Do they hate chocolate? Whatever it is, right? Coach the what based on the who. And now I'm going to take this a step further. This is really important. Most of the time when a coach starts working with a client, they assume that the client is ready for action, that the client is ready to move forward in outer ways, that the client is just super ready, excited to go, right? And I call, like, this outer action, this moving forward, it's like, you know, I think a lot about, I work a lot, and we'll talk about this a lot throughout the training, around the seasons, right? So in other words, we naturally assume that a client is, you know, we can say in spring or summer. And so we coach them based on just assuming that they're spring and summer, you know, the what is about the action and the let's go and all of that. Now, it's awesome when you start working with a client and they're starting in spring or summer, right? I hope you guys get what I mean by spring and summer, right? It's like new ideas, new beginnings, you know, everything is ready to bloom, growth, you know, all of that. But here's the truth is that many, if not most, clients, when they start working with you, are more likely going to be in autumn or winter. They're going to need to release some things first. They may need to do inner work, right? The trees actually, you'll hear me say this a couple times throughout the training because it's just one of my favorite things. You know, trees actually, we think they don't grow at all during the winter time because everything looks dead above ground. But the truth is that actually trees grow the most during the winter. That's when their roots are growing the most and, you know, preparing with all the nourishment that's going to actually create the growth in the spring. So hopefully all of this is making sense. You know, the way it relates to coaching the what based on the who is I really want you to, when you start working with clients, and really at any point when you're working with a client, I'm always tracking, you know, what season are they in? Is this a moment for action, action, action? Or are they starting where they need to release first? They need rest first, maybe. You know, maybe the first couple weeks of our work is just about creating space for them before they go into spring. Is there something that they need to grieve? Have they not yet acknowledged what they've already created, right? Does that need to happen first, right? So, again, coaching the what based on the who, really, it's always important to be thinking about it, but I want you to specifically be thinking about it when you start working with a client. What season are they in? So take a moment and just jot down this coaching the what based on the who. How does this relate to your own work? And by the way, if you're asking yourself, well, how do I listen for the who, we're going to be looking at that. And that's one of the things we'll be looking at next week. But for right now, this coaching the what based on the who, this, you know, looking at those rhythms and what season someone is in, how does that relate to your own work? Maybe you can just jot down an example or two for yourself to be thinking about in your own work. All right. So we've got a couple of minutes left. Before I tell you about your homework, I'd love to hear shares, takeaways. Actually, take a moment and jot down what are some of your big takeaways from our call today? What's really rising to the surface for you? What are you connecting for yourself? What are you seeing that's important to you? take a moment to jot that down. And if there are any questions, I'd love to hear takeaways, new ideas, and any questions that you have, Star 2. This is somebody from Vermont. In a couple calls, I'll know all of your numbers, but your name isn't coming up. It's 3038.
Hi, Joanna. It's Chrissy.
Hi, Chrissy.
Hi. Thank you so much. This has been great. I think the thing that I'm taking away is just the presence and the curiosity and slowing things down. I think that sometimes I get really excited during the call, and especially during like a sales call or like an invitation, to stay present to actually listening rather than, are they going to want to work with me? Like, where are they going? Oh, I really want to work with them. Sometimes that can be really distracting.
Yeah.
And I really want to bring that more into my calls. And I'm just wondering if you have any other thoughts on how to direct your energy when you are in a call that you know there's going to be an invitation at the end, and if it's just same as what you mentioned.
Yeah, so first of all, I love that you're bringing that in, and this is such a great point. Everything that we've been talking about last week, this week, really every single call in this training can be applied to sales calls and should be applied to sales calls. So I'm really glad that you're bringing this in. It's really important. In terms of directing energy for an invitation, you know, again, it's that balance that I was talking about before. Obviously, when you're on a sales call, you never want to be attached to the outcome, right? Because as soon as you get attached to the outcome of this person must buy from me, as soon as you're attached, then you're not present anymore. You're not helping your client feel seen, heard, and loved. You're not listening in that way. You've stopped being curious. You're just, like, focused on the one thing, right? So what I like to say is you want a particular result, and everything that you're doing on the sales call is leading you and your prospect to the result, but while that's happening, you want to put all of these pieces into place. I don't know if that's a good enough answer, but that's what I got for you. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think that's the question, because I feel like there's a little bit more forward movement sometimes, especially if a client is feeling stuck or not sure. And I think maybe I'm just struggling with the balance between like keeping that momentum going toward like taking an action or getting excited to do the thing.
Yeah, also listen to the authentic enrollment conversations workshop, because
right.
I go through very specifically how to lead clients in that direction. If you have that structure down, you won't need to be thinking so much, I need to do this, this, and that, we need to get there. Like, you'll just kind of have it down, and it will naturally flow. So I think that will be helpful, too.
Thank you.
Okay, great. This is someone from Freehold, 4309.
Hi, Joanna. It's Dana.
Hi, Dana.
Hi. So this is the first call I've been able to make it on live, and I just caught up this morning on last week, so I feel like really in it today because I've been listening for a while. So, I'm honestly loving everything that's coming up, and as I shared with you, I'm not currently a coach. So, you know, I'm feeling good that a lot of what you're talking about now is stuff I have been doing, because, you know, I teach meditation, so the energetics piece is something I'm pretty mindful of. The one thing that came up where I know I need the work is sort of around the container setting, specifically finding the balance between, like, I'm good at listening and tuning into intuition, but where the self-doubt comes in is wanting to make sure that I have like the bigger container of like the end result that we're heading towards. And I want that to be, you know, something very transformational for the client and setting that ahead of time. And what I'm realizing is I need help, and it'll probably come over time. I guess maybe I just don't have enough experience creating like the longer containers to hold space for that transformation. Like right now I'm doing like one-off sessions or, you know, packages of three, and it's hard to kind of build up and get the momentum to get the deeper transformational work. So I'm super excited to, you know, find out how to create those larger containers when you're just starting out as a coach.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're bringing this forward. And, you know, I'll say this for now. This is important for new coaches and for seasoned coaches. Part of setting the container is the enrollment conversation. And the work that you lay out in the enrollment conversation. So I'm not going to get into all the nitty-gritties of enrollment conversations. You guys have a five-hour recording that you can listen to. You're going to hear me talk for hours on end about it. But you know, one of the components of the sales conversation is after you listen to, you know, where your client, your prospect is at and where they need, you lay out the journey that you sense you'll take together in order to get them to their results. So number one, that's part of setting the container because you're laying out the journey for transformation. But the reason why I'm sharing this now, you know, in response to what you we're sharing, Dana, is that when you can lay out that journey for the prospect, then it's so much easier to say, we need 4 months together, we need 12 months together, we need 6 months together, because you're sharing with them all the different things that need to happen to get them to the goal that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll leave it at that for now, but is that helpful to think about and play with?
It's totally helpful to think about, and I think for me it's a lot about knowing for myself as a new coach, how long will it take me to get them to that goal, or how long can I expect it to take when I feel like I'm always recreating, like I have never taken, like I have my own journey, and I'm pulling tools from that, and that's why I'm starting my journey of helping others, but nobody gave me like a boxed program to be like, all right, this is where to start, so I'm kind of starting from scratch, so that's the challenge for me when I'm always like, I want to be perfect and not self-doubt.
Yeah.
So, so I think that as we go through more of this stuff, I'll have more confidence and I'll start practicing the tools here. And I think it'll fall into place more. But so I'm feeling good.
And
where
watch out for the I need to be perfect, right? Because that's going to block
that's a block. That's my block that I have a lot.
Yeah, good. Good.
So.
Okay. We've got a couple more people with hands up, and I want to take your questions and your reflections, but I know we're at time, so let me just quickly tell you guys about homework, and then I can stay on the line and answer any questions, and I'd love to hear more reflections. Just really simple, there'll be two worksheets. One is actually a resource sheet, and the other is a worksheet. It's kind of like soft, just, you know, the way that all of today's foundational pieces are kind of like soft skills, not specifics. The worksheet is a little soft, too. It's really more about thinking in and leaning into just the principles that we've been looking at today, but you'll be able to find them in the member center later today. Corey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. The first takeaway I have is that I realize in listening to the first call and to this one how much I really have created in my practice and how much I've learned and been able to make these kind of connections that I'm hearing particularly in this call by virtue of who I am but also the training I've received so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a really good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And then the second piece is that I really love bringing curiosity in as an active tool consciously, and that awareness of how much more presence it does bring for me and for the person with whom I'm working. I kind of half knew that before, but I really like the consciousness of how you brought that forward, so it was very helpful.
I'm so glad to hear it, and I love what you're saying, is that, you know, all of this is validating for you. I think this is one of the things I mentioned last week. So, you know, some of the things we're going to be looking at, you'll already be doing them, but maybe not so conscious that you're doing them. Now that you have that consciousness or the awareness, you're going to do them even better. So just track what evolves with each of these principles now that we've sort of brought them into focus for you.
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. Thanks, Corey.
There we go.
All right. And Justine, last.
Hi.
Hi.
So, first of all, you know, the, like, some of the stuff, yes, I know, and it, they're great reminders. And what I love and appreciate about what you do is the questions that you ask us to reflect on, because I feel that it brings it home, it personalizes it, and it has me look at things. It gives, like, a specific example of how I am or am not doing something. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. That's really helpful for me. And I have a question. The who and the what.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about the who, you're just, it's basically that we're just actually looking at our client, who they are, what their circumstances might be, strengths, you know, just who they are as a person, and really looking at that as we're coaching the what. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, for example, you know, we go back to the scheduling piece. You know, sometimes I'll have a client, let's say they're starting, it doesn't matter even where they're at in their business, but usually, like, to start a business, you know, I'll say it's really great to have, you know, minimum amount of hours a week, let's say 20, to really be doing outreach and to, you know, do the activities, that you, whatever the activities are, right? And then we'll set up activities based on that. But if I have someone who's coming to me, I need to look at all of their circumstances, right? Do they have a job? Do they have children? Do they have a sick family member? You know, whatever it is. Are they about to go on vacation for 4 weeks, right? And the way that we're going to set up, you know, bringing in their first clients is going to be different than for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and schedule is just one example of that,
yeah.
Right? So I think what oftentimes happens is, because so many coaches these days are also consultants, is that we get in our heads, this is the way to do it. You make X happen by doing A, B, C, D, E. Now, that may be true, but it's always going to be different for each individual person, and we need to really remember to look. And I'll say, like, those are outer examples, but even inner examples are, you know, I have some clients, let's say a piece around shadow comes up. Well, you know, based on the who, for some of those clients, I'm going to go straight in and I'm going to really challenge them and I'm going to be confrontational with them, because I know that they can take it and it's not going to trigger them if I go straight in that way. I'm coaching the what based on the who. But I have some other clients where we need to walk around it in a different way, or, you know, whatever it is, right? So is that helpful to think about in those ways?
Yeah, and I would imagine that, you know, in the beginning and working with a client, you're getting to know the who, and,
yeah,
you know, and setting up that container is part of that, and then, you know, maybe that discovery process together is where you're really getting to know more how to coach someone based on the who.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. But thank you. That was all. That was helpful. Examples are great.
Good. All right. It looks like we've got another hand up. I'm just going to keep on going. I know some people have already gotten off the line, but I'll keep on answering questions. from California, 2809.
Hi, Joanna. This is Connie.
Hi.
I just wanted to speak to the part about curiosity,
mm-hmm.
and how I feel like as a person, I just have this natural childlike wonder about me.
Mm-hmm.
But where I see it lacking for me is with clients or when I am tuning in intuitively. I just take what I'm tuning into intuitively at face value without being curious about whether it's landing or not for the other person.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. We'll look even more at this in creating awareness, but, you know, for now what I'll say is I definitely, like I shared before, whatever intuitive hits I'm getting, whatever I'm sensing, if it feels appropriate, I'm going to bring it in, but I'll always follow it up with, does that resonate for you? How does that land for you? And if it's an intuition that I'm like, I keep on hearing it, but I don't know, like my brain is telling me maybe not, like I'm not sure. I may even pre-qualify it with, now you know yourself best, and I may not be right here, but this is what I think. Does that land for you? Right? So that it's about curiosity, but it's also about empowering the client. You know, for those of us that are really intuitive, we don't want our intuition to take over the show. Our last session of this training, one of the women in the session, she is like just, you know, she's a medium. She is like the real deal, intuitive. And one of the main things she saw in this was that she was disempowering her client. Because she stopped being curious because her intuition was so strong. So I'm really glad you can see that for yourself.
Yes, thank you so much. That was really valuable.
Good, I'm glad. You're welcome. All right, everyone, thank you so much for your presence and your curiosity and listening and all that you brought forward. I hope you enjoyed this call. I'll start a thread in our Facebook group. I'd love to hear more takeaways, any questions that come up, and let me know how the homework goes too. Wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.